Mr. Jones. May it please the court. I'm Robert Jones, the plaintiff appellant in this case. This is an age discrimination and common law fraud case which comes before this court from cross motions for summary judgment, in which summary judgment was granted to Lucent Technologies on both counts. My motion for summary judgment is before this court in its entirety, as the district court's opinion reflects a failure to apply procedural and substantive law to such a degree that it is not practical to focus on isolated mistakes. My argument is most effectively and completely presented in the briefs. Since the scheduling of oral argument implies that the court has questions, and since these could be extensive, if it be permitted, in order to allow as much time as possible to address questions, I would like to go directly to any questions the court may have based on the briefs. Are there any questions at this time?
Not for me.
I will address the age discrimination claim first. The facts in this case are pretty simple. During the 2000 year-end performance review, I was lied to by my recently promoted supervisor, Umesh Joshi, in order to rate me in band 4. This rating led to me being placed at risk as part of a Lucent restructuring, and I was subsequently terminated. I initially challenged the rating when Joshi first showed it to me and referred to the positive feedback I received from the previous supervisor during mid-year performance review. Joshi responded by saying, among other things, that I was in the middle and this was just for his personal use. This induced me to accept the rating and not challenge it any further. When I was first notified of my at-risk status, I tried to get an explanation from Joshi as to the criteria used, but he evaded the questions, knowing that he had lied. I then wrote a letter to his boss requesting a review of my at-risk status in view of the feedback I had received, but this was stonewalled. This lawsuit followed, and ultimately the investigation led to the conclusion that Joshi lied to me and rated me in band 4 due to an age bias. The evidence for this is that when Joshi became a supervisor, he had individual meetings with the group members and asked us, where do you want to be in the next 2 to 5 years? I said that I would qualify for a service pension in about 4 years and would like to be able to retire. As part of my pursuit of an explanation of my at-risk status, I had opened an internal Lucent age discrimination case against Joshi to find out if this is why he had lied to me during performance review. When the EEO investigator asked Joshi about the statements he made to me during performance review, the EEO investigator reported he said he didn't recall saying that. Joshi's dishonesty with the EEO investigator can be considered affirmative evidence of guilt. This is a very terse version of the evidence, but this proves my case. Rather than address this evidence, Lucent tried to create a post hoc rationalization to justify Joshi's rating of me. Lucent tried to take statements from the performance review form that were intended as areas for improvement and portray them as characterizing poor performance. Lucent tried to use an irrelevant poor performance review rating from a previous organization to bolster its contention. Ultimately, Lucent impeached itself with regard to the meaning it tried to attribute to the statements. The manifest weight of the affirmative evidence is such that I should be granted summary judgment on this claim. For the fraud claim, Joshi's statements to me during performance review satisfy the elements of fraud. In the district court, the arguments reduced to whether my reliance on Joshi's statements was justified and on whether I suffered damages. The district court decided the case on the issue of damages and, as Lucent did, cited Stromberger versus 3M Company to claim that I could not have been defrauded of anything because I was an at-will employee who could have been terminated at any time. This simply is not the law as cited in Cherry Payment Systems versus Rogers. Clearly, I suffered damages since I ended up being terminated, and it was a consequence of the fraud that resulted in me being rated in band 4. Lucent argues that I can't show that challenging the rating further would have done any good. 2 points on this issue. First, my not challenging the rating further was the action induced by the fraud. Therefore, Lucent's argument is barred by equitable estoppel because the argument allows Lucent to benefit from the fraud. Second, I had evidence that approached virtual certainty that I could have gotten my rating changed if I had pursued it with Joshi's boss. Rather than address this evidence, Lucent simply denied that I had any evidence. Simply ignoring the evidence is insufficient for Lucent to avoid summary judgment, as Lucent offered no relevant evidence to refute it. For the issue of justified reliance, all aspects were covered in my main brief. Lucent makes no attempt to address my argument and the controlling law. Rather, Lucent simply asserts that the administrative guideline of Lucent's document retention policy precluded my justified reliance. However, Lucent makes no argument as to how this relates to the performance review process or the use of the performance rating, or especially how it applies as a matter of law. With its undeveloped argument, Lucent simply should be deemed to have waived its argument on this point. If Lucent had made an argument, it would have reduced to one of contributory negligence, which is not a defense for fraud. Simply as a matter of law, I should be granted summary judgment on this claim. There should be no doubt that Lucent should not have been granted summary judgment. There is more than ample evidence to support judgment for me. Evidence is like tracks. Tracks are what may be left behind after something happens that gives you a clue about what caused it. In determining the truth of this case, one level of confidence is how well the proposed truth explains the tracks that were left behind. My arguments for fraud and age discrimination don't just raise a suspicion sufficient to defeat summary judgment, but produce a conviction of truth because they are not only consistent with, but explain in their entirety the circumstances that occurred. In contrast, Lucent has failed to even address the circumstances, let alone produce an explanation that produces a conviction of the truth. Other than my charges, there is no explanation supported by the evidence that explains why Joshi lied to me. In light of the available evidence, it is not in the interest of justice that this case go to trial. The reason being that even during depositions 2 years ago, there were a lot of things that people didn't recall. Now, 2 years later, this will have only worsened. A trial could amount to basically having to read the transcripts into the record. The jury would listen to this as well as the arguments. The jury's retention of this information in this forum would probably be less than this court's studied analysis of the written material. This is especially true when it comes to fraud and justified reliance. If the courts find the issue confusing with its various nuances, then what chance does a jury have to fully comprehend it? I maintain that I am justly entitled to summary judgment and ask that this court recognize what is sufficiently apparent and grant it for both counts. As the issue of damages differs between the two claims, granting summary judgment for one claim does not render the other claim moot. If there aren't any questions, I will reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal. Thank you.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Mr. Jones. Ms. Bedell?
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, I'm Julie Bedell, appearing on behalf of Defendant Respondent Lucent Technologies. I will be very brief, although I'm happy to take any questions from the group. The plaintiff's age discrimination claim in this case focuses on one piece of evidence, and that is the fact he relayed to you that shortly after his new supervisor came aboard, the supervisor sat down with each of his subordinates to find out what their experience was and what they intended or wished to happen in their careers. Mr. Jones testified in his deposition that he said to his supervisor, "I would like to retire in 4 years." Although the supervisor does not recall the comment, he admits it could have been made. Mr. Jones's theory is that there is a stereotypical belief that someone who's going to retire in 4 years is not going to work very hard at the job and is not going to be a poor performer. And this is the basis of his age discrimination claim. There is not 1 ounce of evidence in the record that the supervisor held this stereotypical belief. There is no evidence of his adverse treatment of older workers. There is no evidence whatsoever that he held any ageist beliefs or acted on those beliefs. The plaintiff's argument that at the time he made his internal complaint to Lucent about his termination as part of a reduction in force in February 2001, that when the internal Lucent investigator went to a supervisor and said, what did you tell Mr. Jones during the performance review, that the supervisor said, "I don't remember." When asked in his deposition, that was exactly his supervisor's initial testimony, "I don't remember." But when plaintiff's counsel said to him, "Did you make statements like, 'You're in the middle, this is just for my personal use,'" the supervisor said, "Well, that does sound familiar." So that is not inconsistent responses. In addition to which, there is nothing in what the supervisor said, either at his deposition or in the internal investigation, that suggests age discrimination was the reason for the way in which Mr. Jones was rated in his performance review. And let me try and clarify this for just just a moment, because people not familiar with these forms oftentimes find it confusing. The practice at Lucent in fiscal year 2000 was to give a written performance evaluation, not unlike the ones the court, I'm sure, has seen in many cases. There was, however, a second part of it, and that's something called a performance appraisal matrix that the plaintiff has included as his supplemental appendix number 10. It is a series of 9 boxes. Across the bottom, it has spaces for business results, and that is essentially what the job performance is like. Going up and down the matrix on the left-hand side is something called GROWS behaviors, and that essentially allows the supervisor to rate various kinds of behaviors. Speed, how much teamwork there is, that kind of thing. GROWS is an acronym. When Mr. Jones's supervisor sat down to give him his review at the end of fiscal year 2000, he put this form in front of him. And this goes, of course, to his fraud claim. His comment, or allegedly the comment by the supervisor, was, you're in the middle. I think anyone looking at this matrix could see that there is indeed a middle box, but it is not the middle box which is checked, but the box at the bottom, which is a band rating 4 on a system of 1 to 5, with 5 being the worst. This goes to the plaintiff's justifiable reliance claim, and there have been multiple cases, which we've all cited in our briefs, that say a person cannot be defrauded if they ignore available evidence. Mr. Jones suggests that his supervisor had some personal definition of what a band 4 rating was, but nevertheless the official Lucent form said band 4, which shows at the bottom coach, develop, PIP, or performance improvement plan. Also, with respect to the fraud claim, the district court correctly relied on the case of Stromberger versus 3M. In that case, the plaintiff was given a choice of taking a voluntary separation plan. He was told that if he did not do so, the quotas were going to be raised to a virtually unattainable level, and he believed his choice was to take the voluntary package or to be terminated because he could not make quota. In that case, the court said he did not have a fraud claim because the fraud did not leave him any worse off than he otherwise might have been. That is exactly the situation here. Had the supervisor given Mr. Jones this year 2000 performance appraisal matrix, checked the box for the band 4 rating and said, you are a marginal performer, you are rated very poorly, Mr. Jones would not have been any worse off than he was based on the comments he says that the supervisor made to him.
Mr. Dell, may I ask you a question, if I could, about the matrix?
Surely.
I understand the checkbox. Are we on the role model and effective categories? Is there some reason why there is no rating, or is that...
There's only one box checked on the rating. Essentially, the supervisor looks at the row of boxes at the bottom for business results. And someone who's a role model, it would indicate the right-hand box. The coach develop PIP would be the middle box, and the PIP needs improvement would be the right box. And then the supervisor would go to the left-hand grows behaviors and find the appropriate box there. In this particular case, the supervisor has rated the bottom row of boxes under business results a 4, or a coach develop PIP, and then going up on the grows, effective, and on the grows list on the left needs improvement. So when you look at the left box in the vertical column needs improvement, and the effective in the business results, it leads you to that box number 4.
No, I understand. But is it that role model is not relevant in the examination?
Correct.
And that's true of effectiveness, I guess, in overall. It's only on needs improvement that there's an assessment made?
No. If, for example, someone were a role model in GROWS behaviors and a role model in business results, the upper right-hand box 1 would be checked. reflecting role model in each of the two categories, the grows and the business results.
Okay, all right. Every employee then is not subject to a role model analysis, is that right?
Unless the supervisor feels that the individual is a role model, either in the grows behaviors or in the business results.
So questions of role model and effectiveness with regard to Mr. Jones were not subjects for the review, is that right?
Well,
it's only the area of he was assessed as someone who needs improvement?
Correct. He was not assessed as a role model either with respect to his business results or with respect to his grows behaviors. The Cherry case, which Mr. Jones referred you to, was a different situation than this particular case. In Cherry, the plaintiffs were about to go to work for a particular company. A competitor called them in and said, wait, we'll pay you even more money, and the plaintiffs decided to forego that in reliance on the representations that were made to them. When those representations turned out not to be true, the plaintiffs sued, and the court said that 3M does not apply to this case because the plaintiffs are worse off due to the fraud. In this case, Mr. Jones was not. Regardless of what his supervisor said to him during the performance review, the fact remains that he was rated in band 4, and all of the employees who were rated in band 4 or band 5 were part of the reduction in force in February 2001, which, of course, had nothing to do with his age. We ask that the court affirm the grant of summary judgment to Lucent, but I would be happy to answer any remaining questions.
Okay. Apparently. Thank you, Ms. Bedell. Mr. Jones.
Since you did ask about the performance matrix, I would comment, yes, that's obvious that just looking at this form that reflects poor performance. That's why I raised the issue with Joshi when he showed me the form. That's the whole point of the case. I mean, she didn't address the whole issue of fraud that occurred. It's also, although we didn't get into it in the briefs, it was a disputed fact at the district court that, in fact, whether or not this determination is made by evaluating what they call gross behavior versus business results, I maintain that the reality is that kind of analysis isn't done. The supervisor decides what category they want to rate you in, and they check that appropriate box. I don't think I have really, unless you have questions. I mean, if there's some issue, especially when it comes to the things like justified reliance, I'm more than willing to discuss those. Otherwise, I'll just cede my time, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Jones. Thank you, Ms. Bedell. The case is taken under advisement. The court will proceed to the sixth case of the day.